You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Dave, I first met Dave in Bible College in 1982. Dave and Beryl were on the mission field in 1982 or before that for a long time and came back to Australia to Bible College. And we were fortunate and blessed to have them come to our Bible College through the connection of Pastor Trevor Chandler and Pastor Oxley. And Dave and at that stage his young family then stayed on, and at the end of 1982-83 Dave with the boys worked on the property here as we moved the school from Warrenwood to Churnside Park onto this school. And it was just an amazing time over that Christmas time working together and doing an awful lot of stuff, and just the way Dave and his boys worked were just a real blessing to us. Dave then went on to become part of the teaching staff of Oxley College and finally became the principal of Oxley College. I don't know how long, dates are really hard for me. How many years? Must be about 50, 100 years that you were pre. then straight after being principal, he came down into the church here and became one of our pastoral team, one of our elders, and spent a long time with us down here. Dave then went back to New Guinea, back to New Ireland, where they continued to work with the school that they'd originally established over there. Came back, and I'm running through it really quickly, and then, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, were called back to Papua New Guinea itself to work in New Guinea with the Rascals and a guy called Lapa. And it's just been an amazing journey, and I think he's hooked himself in for another 1 year or two or three or a year at a time now. Very wise, very wise. And it's just a fantastic thing to have Dave again on our platform. He is a part of us. We love him and Beryl. We love their kids and their extended families. And we're just blessed. So let's welcome Dave as he ministers the word this morning.
Lovely to be here. Thank you for the welcome. And it's always good to get back here and refresh. It's always good to go back again and see the work just continue. Now, before I go into the word, I just want to thank you for your prayers, for your support. We live in a tough place, tough spiritually, so we need your prayers. We ask you to pray for us continually. You'll hear a little bit about that type of thing as I speak, but please don't, not out of sight, out of mind, okay? Because it is dangerous, and I'm not talking for myself only, for anybody on the mission field. There are dangers there which just don't exist in Australia. But please keep praying for us and keep supporting us in that way. Now, I'm going to speak today on the subject of hope and hopelessness. Love that song that we sang, where it just said, "My hope is in you." And we're a people of hope, aren't we? We come, and most of us here would have hopes for this year, for the future. And it's not based on nothing. Let's take a couple of scriptures first. I want to go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. I'll read verse 24 and 25. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25. "For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." You see, we have a culture, we have a church where we learn about this hope. We know that this earth is not all there is. We know that beyond this earth we have a hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And that's not just based on airy-fairy stuff, it's based on the Word of God. We have this hope. And it's not just that hope for that future time where we leave this earth. It's hope for now, because we're in a culture where we we are quite secure. We hear about things not so good, but we're fairly secure here in Australia. And we hope in this. And in Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it says this: "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Now I wonder, can I ask each one of you to really think, is your hope based on these Scriptures? Do you read these Scriptures and gain the hope I'm going to be talking about? Because they're written for that. That we might see, and I just loved the sermon that Graham gave us last Sunday, where he said, look, normally on a new year we make New Year's resolutions and we look forward. But he said, now, let's not allow those things behind us to drag us back. Let's get out of that. And Chris Blackett, the Sunday before that, told us that make this word a reality in your life. Don't just say it's words on a page and it's something that I like reading or a Christian should read. No. Get into this word. Let it give you and me that hope that God wants to give us. He doesn't want us to be a hopeless people. He wants us to look ahead. We look at the problems of this world. We can come right down to the problems of this area and we can think, too big. But it's not. This word gives us hope because God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. He wants this whole world to be saved. And that salvation is the hope that we have. Now, I want to contrast that with somebody who doesn't have the Word of God, who's somebody who's not as fortunate as you and I, who have a church which nourishes us, has a culture. Yes, this culture still is able to nourish us if we just stop complaining and start thanking God for all the good things that he's given us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He buried myself work among people who don't know the Word of God. They have not been taught. They have not been to church. Their culture is so much different. They don't have this hope that we have. And I read this scripture and I think, man, I'm so fortunate that God touched my life, saved me, and I have this hope. But let's look at somebody who, in our culture, has hope. See, most of us, we're secure. If you're younger, you have hopes regarding your schooling. If you're going on a little bit further, you have hopes for your career. You have hopes for finance. You have hopes for family. All of these things, you look ahead and you can see that yes, there's something attainable there, something good that I can strive for, something that is going to be of benefit to me and the people around me. We've got that. But even here, some of you sitting today may not have hope. I want to show you today a way through that. And those who do have hope, I really would ask you to be so thankful every day. Don't take it for granted, because there are people very much different. I want to paint a picture for you of people without hope. Let's have the first slide there. They're born into poverty. Now, the slide there is just outside our back door. The people live in a settlement. They have no sanitation. There's no garbage collection. There's no water running. Let's have the next, please. It's just a place of grot. That there is a so-called creek, but because Port Moresby has definite dry seasons, that creek doesn't run, and so it smells. And the only garbage collection is when there's a nice big rain. And we didn't have any rain for about 4 or 5 months last year. And the people just live in amongst that. Many of the people that we work with, they're not only born into that poverty, but they're born and then very quickly they don't have any parents because age is so prevalent that parents are dying off. Children are just left. Or their family. There's a lot of violence, a lot of fighting, and we have people with us in our centre whose parents have just been killed because of some dispute over land. And they've had to run away. Otherwise they too would have been killed. Let's have the next slide, please. So, these people, now that water there, you can see it's used as a rubbish tip. It's also used as a toilet. But it does have fish in it. And the people catch fish and eat them. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine living amongst that sort of thing? A young child born into poverty. A lot of parents either not there or quite useless because alcoholism is quite rife. And they look at this and they think, well, perhaps there's a bit of hope in education. Just let's run through another slide. So they might, get educated. Here's a truck. The person had worked to better themselves, had a slight accident. That's the result. People just came and set fire to the truck. Phew, whatever he's worked for, gone. No insurance, no nothing, gone. Education might be it, but the standards are so poor. And at the end of education, there are no jobs. We've got one student who worked, and it's hard work, worked to year 12. Now, with a year 12 certificate, it is possible to get a job. But unfortunately, this young fellow's brother stole his certificate. And he went and got a job, and this student we've got was left high and dry, having put in all that effort. Because there's no way of checking who's who. There's no birth certificates. There's no documentation of who's who. You can say whoever you are and just has to be taken. So a certificate like that is just useless. And then we come to the people who are homeless. Could I go through another slide? There's one of them. Young Jackson. Homeless, comes to us because without coming to us, what do I eat? Where do I sleep? How do I survive? Hopeless. Who do I trust? Can't trust the police, they're all bribed. We have two students in our facility. One, he can't use his hands because he was arrested on a minor misdemeanor and they just belted him up using iron rods, broke both of his hands. Another one has a broken arm and Yeah, you think of a broken arm, yeah, you go to the hospital and get it fixed. No, you don't. You can't do that. Haven't even got the money to go to a hospital and get it fixed up. And so here he is with this crooked arm. Can't do very much. Hopeless. What can I do? Do I trust politicians? No. Politicians, figures are about 80% of politicians, once they are elected, within a year they're a millionaire. Now, where does that money come from? Just from corruption. We live in Papua New Guinea, should be a very, very rich country. It's not, because of corruption. Well, do we trust our teachers? No. Teachers come when they feel like it. The teachers also are quite corrupt. Next slide, please. I'm going to tell you today the story of three men. Now, the one in the white shirt, he is one of our workers. And he teaches in the Bible College. I'm not going to speak about him. But these three men. There's Silas, then the teacher, there's Gabriel, and there's Junior. These three men joined our Bible College. Now, they all come from the settlement. They all have a background of gangs, fighting, drugs, alcohol, immorality. That's what they're from. And so they come in to us and just have never been taught a thing. So yeah, it gets quite amusing sometimes because we like them to do a few practical things. And so one day I said to some of the students, all right, we'll clean the vehicles. So they get the hose and they start cleaning the vehicles. And fortunately, I was watching because I finished one part and this guy opens the door and is about to get the hose into the into the vehicle. Never taught a thing. Don't know. Let's do some gardening. Now you'd think, oh yeah, Papua New Guinea people garden. No, they don't. Not these ones I'm talking about because they're in a city. They're homeless. They don't have any hope. They survive by crime. There's just nothing there, and they come and they just just hopeless. Now, in our settlement, they formed a rugby club, all these homeless guys. And they came and asked, can we use your oval to train? These three were part of it. Yeah, righto, come and train, that's fine. And I said to our Bible College students, how are we going to reach out to these guys? They're just preaching at them won't do it. That won't work. And so we decided to put on a barbecue. So that's what we did. We put on a barbecue, and the first man you saw, Jackson, he got beside one of these guys. He got beside Junior. Let's have the next slide, please. Now, he's speaking to Junior. This is at the end of 2012. Junior gets a little bit interested and he comes to see me and he says, David Jackson was speaking to me and he said, I'm sick of the life I'm living. Can I come to the Bible College? Are you a Christian? No. You usually have to be a Christian to come to a Bible College because you know, you can't take in. It's a spiritual thing. So I tell him the gospel, say to him, righto, Junior, do you want to give your heart to the Lord? Yes. He prays a sinner's prayer and then he comes to Bible College. Now, why did I let him into Bible College? Normally, I'd say, no, you do a year of our rehabilitation program and then you can come. But somehow, Holy Spirit prompted me and said, no, allow Junior to come in this year. So he started. Next slide, please. So Junior starts, and he's going well. He starts talking to some of his friends. So Silas is the next one to turn up. David, I want to come to Bible college. Oh yeah, you're Christian? No. Okay. Give him the gospel. Gives his heart to the Lord. Joins Bible college. And then, a week later, next one please. This guy turns up. Gabriel. Now I tell you what. If you met Gabriel in a dark night, you'd run. He's big and he's got a tough looking face. Same story. These guys have been talking to me. I want to come to Bible college. Okay. You're a Christian? No. Same story. Give him the gospel and away he comes. Now these three men, Junior, Silas and Gabriel, turned out to be about the best students in our Bible college. But I want to concentrate on Gabriel. Now, Gabriel, he really is a toughie. He was the leader of the gang. He, just every day, he was drunk, living on what he could steal, fighting, and just that hopelessness that I described. During the year, he said to me, David, if I hadn't come to Bible college this year, I'd be dead. And he wasn't kidding. He said, I'd be dead. I had no hope. I didn't care. I'd just do whatever. Just drink into oblivion. Fight as if there's no tomorrow and so on. Imagine somebody coming up to you and saying that. David, if I hadn't been here, I'd be dead. Now, Gabriel, he's one of these guys who did work his way through and got an education. But at the end of his education, no work. See, I read that scripture, and let me just have a look at it again. That one from Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 12. At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Having no hope and without God. Here's three young men, all without this hope, all coming and saying, I want to come to Bible college because I've heard that it'll do me good. It's okay. And all of that from a simple thing like running a barbecue. The rugby club came, they were training, we put on the barbecue. Oh, this is unusual. What are these people feeding us for? And then nobody standing up and preaching, just people getting beside them and talking to them. Three lives. Now, these three guys can't stop them from going out and evangelising now. Just can't stop them. They just go out, go out, go out. And I said that Gabriel said to me, David, if I hadn't come to Bible college, I'd be dead. Now, he went to one of his friends in the settlement and he was saying, and look, this is good. I found a way of life much better than the gangs, much better than the street life. I found a way of life. How about coming? The guy said, yeah, yeah, I should. I'll go and see David. Three times this fellow was witnessed to and said, yes, I must go and see David. Unfortunately, he didn't. He got drunk. He interfered with another guy's wife. He was hacked to death on the street. Hope or hopelessness. He was just at that stage where he was going to come and see me. Now look, I'm speaking like this because I want you to know that there are probably people like that here in Australia. And you and I can reach them just by a simple way of showing a little bit of love. By reaching out. A barbecue. Didn't cost very much. Three lives into eternity. And these fellows are out. As I say, I can't stop them. We have Mondays off. And every Monday they're out on the streets. Finding people. Bringing them. And it's the same story. They come. Oh, you want to come? Yes. Come into the rehabilitation program. Yes. You Christian? No. Well, this is the gospel. You want to accept Christ into your life? Yes. See, they're so hungry. Hopeless people know that it could be better, that it should be better. And I'm going to read you a letter that Gabriel wrote to me. Can we have Gabriel up again, the last of those students? Yep. Just before we came down, now I'm going to try not to cry when I read this, but I don't guarantee it. Came to see us and said, Mama, Papa, just want a word with you before you go back to Australia. And he said, but I'll find it hard to speak, so I wrote it. May I read it to you? To Papa David. Papa, I just want to say thank you. I'm thinking of him. Thinking of this tough guy. This bloke without hope at the start of the year. And he comes. And he just thinking of his life. Papa, I just want to say thank you for everything that you've done for me. As a man growing up without a father, my life has been very different and sometimes incomplete at times. But I thank and praise God that he allowed me to be under your leadership and guidance. For you have changed my outlook in life. You've taught me things that I would hold on to for the rest of my life. In particular, your work ethics, it has showed me that there is no shortcuts in life and you have to earn your keep. Thank you, Papa. The biggest thing that you did is that you loved me. And it showed and radiated through you. Papa, I cannot thank you enough for that. Thank you so very much. Papa, thank you. Your time, much appreciated. Tough. Would be dead if he hadn't come to Bible college. And he writes this. And I just know that that man is going to make an impact for the kingdom of God. This year, he's gone back to his village. He could have gone on to second year Bible college. He said, no, I've prayed. And I believe God wants me to go back to my village and evangelize my village. I'm going home. I'm going to build a house. And I'm going to be there to help my people. What an incredible thing. From hopelessness to hope. And all because of the word of God and the love of God. You see, each one of us can just reach out in love and can touch somebody who needs that touch. There's not one of us who could say no. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a teacher. All you have to do is have the love of Christ and allow that love to touch somebody else's life. And when it does, that's when the difference is made. This man, growing up without a father, not being shown one ounce of love from anyone, and then finds it, and within 1 year, his life so radically changed. So you know that Graham loves John 10:10. Well, every day I see John 10:10 worked out in front of our lives. The thief comes. I see that he comes to steal. He comes to kill and he comes to destroy. We see it every day of our lives. But here's the good news. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life. They may have it more abundantly. These guys, they're getting life more abundantly because Christ is reaching out to them. Through Beryl and myself, through many others. You know that Jeremy came up. He was amazing. He just showed that love and they responded to him. And you know, as I see that, I think back and say thank you. You can't all go on the mission field. Beryl and myself have that privilege. But you can support us. You can pray for us. And you can make that difference. See, you are part of that man's life. You are part of all these people. This year, we're going to have 30 people in the Bible College. And we're going to have about 20, 26, 27 in the rehabilitation program. 50 or more lives to be impacted. And you are part of that. You're faithful, you pray for us, you've sent us, and we bless you and thank you.